1 Kings chapter 10 in your Bibles here this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 10. I want to bring a message this morning with this thought and title in mind. From who cares to I care.
Amen.
From who cares to I care. I'm going to bring a message on that this morning. Father, please bless this morning in the preaching of your word. This will be more of a pastoral type of message, not a perhaps a normal type of Sunday morning message, but I believe very important in the history of our church for such a time as this, to be able as a pastor to share my heart and burden, of which I believe without a shadow of a doubt is what you have put on my heart and burden as a pastor of this church. And Father, we believe and by faith that as you have used this ministry in a very special way, and we're so humbled by that over these many years, we have to believe that as long as we're obedient to your word and yield it to the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our ministries, that there's still more that you'd like to do through our church as there still is such a great need in our area. So many souls need to be saved. So many families need to be strengthened and even put back together again, reconciled. So many youth need direction and purpose beyond money and careers and fame and that which the flesh provides, but a foundation that they can build their lives upon and be prepared for adulthood where they have their own walk with you and relationship with you. I believe there are many senior saints around this community that need to be loved on, need to be remembered, need to be taken care of properly. And on we can go. Father, I believe there's yet so much more, spiritually speaking, and we understand it's not just the job of one church, but I do believe that every church ought to view it as a great responsibility and burden that is ours to be a part of and make as big of a difference for eternity as we can while we have the chance. And I pray you bless now in this service, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's so much more, and I hope you'll just let me bear with me in the introduction of the message, if you would, this morning, as the first half of my message is all introduction, kind of going into my main thought today. There is so much more to the life of a living, thriving, growing, and serving Bible-believing. Now, let me make sure we understand Bible-believing. When a church is a Bible-believing church and it's a living church where it's alive and it's not dead and it's not dying, but it's alive where it's growing, and it's a church where people are serving, there's so much more to that type of church than Sunday mornings. Sunday morning is not the life. If you were to say, Pastor, is Sunday morning here at Frederick Baptist Church represent the life of Frederick Baptist Church, I would tell you not even close. Not even close. If a person only sees or experiences Frederick Baptist Church on Sunday mornings, they are experiencing less than 20% of what God is doing in this place. What you see this morning is less than 20% of what goes on here from Monday to church time on Sunday mornings. There is way more going on through the ministries of Frederick Baptist Church than what you'll see on Sunday morning. So if a person only sees Sunday morning, you're only seeing about 20% of what God is doing on a regular basis in and through Frederick Baptist Church. I believe that God's blessings have been upon our church, not because of what takes place on Sunday mornings, but I believe more so because of all that goes on around here the rest of the time. Let me give you a quick testimony of what God is doing here at Frederick Baptist Church. We have every week, we have three Bible preaching services, and I'm excited about that. You know, a lot of churches have closed down their Sunday night services. A lot of churches have closed down their Wednesday night services. We'll have people that visit our church from their churches on Wednesday night because their church doesn't have Wednesday night anymore. We'll have people visit our church on Sunday nights because their churches don't have Sunday night anymore, and they come to our Sunday night services and they come to our Wednesday night services and they're like, well, that's what we do on that's a Sunday morning type of service on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. But we're blessed here at Frederick Baptist to have a very meaningful and very very much alive services, and this includes practical Bible studies on Wednesday nights. You realize that we've been able to go here over the last many years, we're not just preaching the Bible, we've been able to go through the Bible on Wednesday nights. We've gone through the book of Galatians on Wednesday night, the book of Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, the book of Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the book of Philippians, and now we're in the middle of Revelation. We've been talking about the Antichrist and all this wonderful encouraging news in the tribulation time. But we're going through the Word of God at our church, and it's exciting to see God's house filled with people that love His Word. We have a graded Sunday school from bed babies to senior saints, and get this now, every room that can be used for Sunday school is being used for Sunday school. We don't have one more classroom, and we need more classes. We need, I'm a big believer in having small adult classes. I believe the more adult classes you have, the more you can get people tied in, to your church, the better. But we don't have any more. We are completely out of classrooms. The staff were always concerned when they see me snooping around looking at rooms and thinking, measuring them. They think, why is he measuring? Well, we're not going to ask him why he's measuring. He's measuring because he's thinking he could put a Sunday school class in that room. And we have. We have created. And I believe we've been good stewards. I believe we've been good stewards of this property. The basement is now fully renovated. And I mean, we've taken out that old moldy carpet that used to be down there. We have completely demolded that whole basement. We put money in there. We rewired the basement. I mean, it's up to code in every way. Plumbing, wiring, you name it. We've sunk, and we have every room down in that basement that can be used legally and morally for a Sunday school room is being used. We have repurposed everything around here, that can be used. And it's exciting to know that's the case, but great at Sunday school all the way through up. We have an active youth department that's not built upon entertainment. Can I say that again? We have an active youth department, praise God, that's not built upon entertainment. We're not having to lure them in with the world, but we're trying to reach young people and train them through spirituality. There's a Sunday school department with loving, caring adult teachers. We have a Wednesday afternoon team program before church where we have young people that go out and visit and give the gospel and are taught to do that. They have supper or dinner or whatever you call it around here, and then they have a training period of time, and that's before church every Wednesday night. We have a teen choir. They attend an annual youth conference. They go to an annual teen camp. There are monthly activities, and then there are several ministries of serving. Do you realize that on any given Sunday there will be 25 to 30 of our teenagers that are serving either in a bus ministry, some of them are even Sunday school teachers in the afternoon, working a nursing home ministry, working a nursery ministry, working a junior church ministry, work in the King's Kids ministry, help out in the media department, help clean buildings, work in music. I've often said, if the teenagers around here go on strike, we're going to be in trouble. Thank God. Aren't you glad to think that all of the things that our young people are involved in to serve the Lord, that's a blessing. We have an active elementary department. I love being around our elementary kids. They are such a blessing. We have a Sunday school department with loving, caring adult teachers. And I know every one of the teachers that teaches your children in the elementary grades, that they love your kids and they pray for your children. I don't believe we have one weak spot in our elementary department. We are so blessed to have elementary teachers that take their classes very, very seriously. And they pray for your kids. Isn't that a blessing when you dropped your child off this morning to Sunday school? To know there was someone in that class that was looking forward to your child. That wasn't like, uh-oh, here comes old McCracken. You know, I mean, he's about that. Joel Jr. Not at all. But they love your kids. And your child, by the time your child gets to that class, they've already been prayed for. Isn't that a blessing? Every week. Week in, week out. And I know it happens in our Sunday school department because I know the teachers. We have a Wednesday p.m. King's Kid Discipleship Program. The young people that go through that, we've done the math and I keep asking, but it's hundreds of verses they'll memorize. They may not retain them, but at least they've memorized them, recited them back. What a blessing. An elementary kids choir. Don't you love hearing our elementary kids choir sing? Man, they do such a wonderful job. And now they stand so still. Remember those early days, how they used to all move around, and I see parents kind of slouching back in their seats a little bit, but now they stand so still, and we may have one or two now and then that like to move around a little bit, and I've often said, give me the hyper kids, I can handle the hyper kids, they don't bother me one bit. But man, how exciting. Annual junior camp that our juniors have a chance to go to, our pastor pals activities that my wife and I were able to schedule and interact with our juniors, and looking forward to even more of those this year. Junior church workers and junior church for the children that parents choose to have them in there. I'm just saying, what a blessing that this goes on every week. Enriching and encouraging adult ministries, lady fellowships and events, the monthly prayer breakfast that takes place for our ladies, the annual banquets, the ladies conference that we do, the mother-daughter friend. I think you all have gotten now a cocoa and craft thing you do. On top of that, the ladies that go out visiting and soul winning and all the fellowships that take place to encourage one another, the men's ministries and events. What a blessing that this has stepped up another level in our church. The Malachi 4:6 ministry, our annual men's events that we have around here. What a blessing that we have so much going on. The senior saint fellowships and outings. I believe just recently they went to see Jesus at Sight and Sound in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But what a blessing that is. The many ministry opportunities to be involved in and build meaningful Christian relationships with other church members. And by the way, this is by being involved in church, this is how your church goes from the church you attend to becoming your church family. Let me just share with you some of the ministries. And these are, and I'm probably missing some. So if you just come Sunday morning, and I'm not preaching against people that only are able to come, but I'm going to tell you something. If all you see is what you see in Sunday mornings, you may not see a need for us to ever move to this property. You may never see the need for us to expand. You may think, well, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with these pews? What's wrong with this parking lot? What's wrong with these bathrooms? We got a lot here. Why are we ought to be thankful for what we have? We ought not be ungrateful and trying to relocate. And what's wrong with this? Now, don't misunderstand me. We are grateful. You're looking at one grateful pastor. I am so grateful under Pastor Sam Thompson and the folks that have been part of Frederick Baptist Temple at the time that purchased this property, excavated it, had the vision for the buildings that we are using today. I'm grateful. I am thankful that that mission house, that the church, when they first got this property, they had to look at that mission house and say, oh, we got to tear that thing down. Some of you were a part of that, I believe. There was a lot of money that got sunk into that mission house where they renovated. I think you had to dig out the basement a little bit to pour some concrete. When I first became pastor here, I was told, don't go down to the basement. They called that the dungeon. Well, telling me not to go somewhere is like telling me to go somewhere. Now, when I went down there, now, I'll tell you what most people saw in that basement by the time I came here. They saw mold. They saw orange carpet that, well, used to be orange, but really it was brown. Junk everywhere, and there was junk everywhere. But I went down there, and I saw there had been a lot of money invested. I saw thousands of dollars and man hours invested in that basement. I saw that there had been proper electricity run down there for the time. I saw plumbing that had been put in there. I saw baseboard heating that just didn't get there by itself. I saw chalkboards. Yes, I said it right. Chalkboards. I saw bulletin boards. I saw a water fountain. I saw a bathroom. I saw doors that, I saw this was a place that had been used and loved, and a lot of time and money had gone into that. And my heart burned to use it again. I thought, you know, a lot of heart went into that building, you know, and before we wanted to build anything, I wanted to make sure we used everything God had given us. So if some of you remember when it seemed like your pastor lost his mind, and I said, we're going to renovate the basement. You're like, the dungeon? But isn't it exciting now that every week, you know how often that basement gets used now? Our ministry could not survive without that basement anymore. So no, we are grateful for what we have here. We're grateful. There's a prayer ministry in our church. We have people that meet on Monday nights for prayer. We have a prayer ministry on Wednesday nights, of course, and we have prayer even tonight before church at 5:30, room 107, around that time. We have people that come to pray for that. Prayer on Saturday mornings. I mean, every week, and we have people, of course, pray in their homes, but we have organized prayer ministry in this church. We have a music ministry. What a blessing that is, and how much our music program has grown, and how many people are involved in our music ministry, and that I don't have to sing solos, Brother Williamson. What a blessing. That would not be a blessing if I did. We have a Monday through Friday Christian Academy. We have nursing home ministries. I mean, I don't know how many go on every week, but so many nursing home ministries our church is blessed to have. We have a bus ministry. how exciting that is, that we are able to go throughout the community. And I was out soul winning this week with the group, and we were in an area where one of our buses run, and one of the dads of the place, he was already a Christian, and he said, Frederick Baptist Church. He said, yes. He said, wait a minute. He said, are you the church that runs that bus in my neighborhood? I said, well, is it a big white bus? Yeah, big white bus. I said, that's us. And he said, well, my neighbor goes to that church. And he said, my child is a certain age. And by the way, I think it's the Purple Pirates. I need to give you, I've got that in my Bible. He said, can my child go to your church? Amen. And I said, well, yeah, we got to make sure the bus captain comes by and meets you, and you want to see who the people are that are going to pick up your child. You know, we want to do it right. But I said, absolutely. And he was so excited. He was already saved, but he recruited us. But what a good testimony that our bus ministry had in that neighborhood, that they watched other kids ride that bus every afternoon to our church and said, hey, can my kid, and I told them, we're not running our buses tomorrow, but next week. And he said, okay, can somebody come by this week and talk to me? I'd love to have my child ride your bus. But how exciting it is to have, the Lord allows us to have a bus ministry that's making a big impact in our community. We have a church visitation. You know, this week alone, including the bus ministry and the soul winning ministry, just out visiting, over 60 different people were involved this week. Think about that. Wow. Now that's not just the visitation and soul winning, but even the bus ministry. Over 60 different people were out this week. Isn't that pretty exciting to go to a church where that many people are willing to try to give someone the gospel? Awesome. King's Kids ministry, nursery ministry, usher ministry, security ministry, media ministry, hospitality ministry, global missions program, an annual vacation Bible school. That's one of the highlights of our calendar. We have a cleaning ministry, a junior church ministry, teen ministries, church transportation ministries, where we run our van every service to pick up people, and on and on and on I can go. So what makes Frederick Baptist Church, and we're not saying we're the most special church, we're not trying to be that, but we do believe this is a wonderful place to be a part of. It's not what happens between 11 o'clock and 12:15 on Sundays, but what takes place the rest of the time. This is a church of people that minister while we're being ministered to. The reason why our church needs to expand our campus, buildings and properties, is because of all that God has been doing, has been and is doing through the many ministries of our church. Again, it's not just that we are needing bigger facilities, we just need more of them. I guess it is bigger, but we also need different facilities, more classrooms for Sunday school, better be able to have expanded nursery facilities, a fellowship hall where we can actually have everybody together at the same time for a fellowship, music practice rooms. Can I get an amen on that? Where you're not having to share that with five other different departments, prayer rooms, discipleship rooms, bus ministry classrooms, we're all out of those, a sanctuary seating, a choir space, a media booth, where, you know, think about how much of a blessing our live stream media has been, but those guys, if I add one more thing back to the sound booth, they're going to get mad at me, they're already cramped as it is. To be able to have training rooms where when we train people to go out soul winning, or various ministries where we have different workers, we don't want people just stay in time, we want people to be trained, and you got to have places to do that. Our King's Kids classrooms and facilities, where we can expand and be able to do more with that ministry. A gymnasium to have so many different activities and events, and even ministries in. More restrooms. Can I get an amen on that? A larger foyer, to help, also for our Christian school. Business office, secretarial offices, staff offices. We need more supply rooms. Can I get an amen on that? We need more storage rooms. Can I get an amen on that? Youth facilities, places to fellowship before and after the services, outdoor recreational facilities, a larger playground. You know, think of this. How much of that playground gets used now? We've only had that playground for how long? A couple months? If we were to take that away all of a sudden, I think our kids would leave the church. But you know that we need to have more for the kids to do. And what a blessing it is. We have people here working all the time throughout the week. And a lot of times our kids are with them. What a blessing it is when people are here and are able to serve, and the children have a good place that's safe where they can occupy themselves. Some of you say, we need to move that, when are we going to move that basketball court, Pastor? Now I know that it's aggravating. I know it is. People come in and out. We want our teen boys to be careful about that. Where are we going to put it? I have searched all around here to replace that basketball goal. And you say, well, that's selfish, Pastor. They ought to be praying during that time. When you're a teenage boy, you're going to be praying. If it can bounce, they want to be at it. Hey, activities for young people are important. And for a church to be sensitive to that is, I think, responsible. Parking. More senior spots. More handicap spots. More visitor spots. For our buses, our church vans. How about a portico for drop-offs? So some of us will get our hair all messed up. A bookstore and resource center. So people ask for materials. Where are we going to put it? I'd love to have a bookstore and resource center. We have no place for it unless we put up shelves in the bathrooms or something like that. Conference room for various meetings. Again, a larger campus will allow our church to be able to function more efficiently and grow effectively. It's not just a matter that we just want to do this. 80% of what goes on here needs that. So how do I go from who cares to I care? Because it's easy sometimes for a person to say, well, I don't care about any of that. I mean, my kids aren't involved in that, or my family's not involved in that, or I don't really participate in any of that, and who cares? And that could really be easy for a person to kind of settle into that. Now, moving and relocating is not convenient. But I'm thankful that people had a vision for this campus so we could have what we have here now. First of all, there's initial indifference or skepticism can happen. Look at verse 1. This could happen. There can be sometimes initial indifference or skepticism. First, in chapter, there was so much going on in the land of Israel. And by the way, I'm not making a parallelism between your pastor and Solomon. Don't even go there. I'm not even trying to do that. Number one, just look at our bank accounts. You'll know there's a big difference between the two of us. But that's not at all where I'm going. Just the idea of a lady that went from doubting that this was even something that was of God to all of a sudden being someone that saw the need and understood what needed to be done. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. I mean, and that, by the way, that was good. She had questions. She wanted to make sure, you know, is this of the Lord? Is this everything I'm hearing? Is this all the different things you can imagine? So sometimes it may start with indifference or skepticism. But then where it needs to go is not just stay there, but take some personal interest. So she thought, well, I've heard all this and I don't think I believe it. I don't know that it's necessary. I don't think I'm buying into it. But you know what? I'm gonna investigate this myself. Amen. So she had personal interest. Look at verses 2 and 3. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. That would have just been customary between one ruler of an empire to another ruler of an empire. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She had a lot of questions. She was indifferent. She was maybe skeptical. She was wanting to make sure that this is something that was everything she heard. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. So she became personally interested. She wanted to know herself, what is going on around here? I often said to people, if you're a member of Frederick Baptist Church, it would be so healthy for you to see what goes on around this place. It's humbling. I mean, your pastor stands behind this pulpit humbled every week by how many people serve in this church and all that people do around this place. I'm just humbled. Tonight's banquet, I mean, we had to put that together in a short period of time. I mean, I'm already just overwhelmed by all the effort and sacrifice and energy people have put into that thing. Teamwork. When I hear about all the different ministries, and it's people are doing it because they have to. People, is it possible people want to? People want to. It's exciting. See what God is doing in your church. Take personal interest or you won't see what you need to see. Amen. You won't. Then personal observation, verses 4 and 5. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. This didn't mean she died. I mean, she was like, it took the breath out of her. Just, I don't know what to say. She was speechless. That was amazing. And then, I'll give you this last point with this idea. Sometimes you just have to experience things for yourself. Look at verses 6 through 7. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words. Notice this now. Until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, a half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. So here's how it works. How do I go from, well, who cares? How do I go from that to, I care. I care. I care. I would hope that everybody that's a part of this church in any way that's been blessed in any level by Frederick Baptist Church, I would hope you care. I care. I care. I care. First of all, I can see the need where I can see the need. Where I see it. You remember when we did the Cameroon Bible Project? When I first announced the fact that we were going to try to get some Bibles raised to go to Cameroon, I'll be honest with you, that probably wasn't registering a whole lot because, well, why are we needing to do that? And then as I began to describe the situation in Cameroon and the opportunity, by the way, the Bibles are over there. You gave to the Bible Project, the Bibles are over there and they're in the churches. They're over in the churches. I wasn't able to make the trip because of the danger in Cameroon. The State Department in our country were not allowing people to go in Cameroon where I was wanting to go. But the Bibles are over there. But when we began to describe the situation, and I don't need to go into that, but you saw the need. And then all of a sudden, where I can relate to the need, you see the need, and then I can relate to it, where you can personally identify with how important that is. When you got to thinking about what if I didn't have a Bible? What if my children have a Bible? I can't imagine not having anybody where, you know, think about coming to church and the only one that has a Bible is the pastor. Yeah, right. Yeah. How hard that would be. And so we can relate to that need thinking, wow, I don't know what it'd be like to not be able to have my own Bible. So you see the need, then you can relate to the need, and then you become burdened for the need. Wow, that needs a change. Something needs to happen. Somebody needs to help out. You understand how that works? And then it goes to the fourth one. Then I begin to pray, God, how can you use me to help with the need? It was a beautiful thing when I announced the Cameroon Bible Project. And as people saw the need and began to relate to it, this church began to get burdened for it. You know, we were receiving offerings towards those Bibles as much as 2 and 3 months after I presented it that one or two times. Money still was coming in. No one had to. No one's arm got twisted. And some of you might have gave towards it. People prayed because they realized, you know what? I care. I care whether or not those people have Bibles or not. Faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. And we have an opportunity to make a difference. I care. The Canaan Project is not about Frederick Baptist Church doing differently, but about doing more of the same. See, we need different so that we can grow in our ability to do more of what we are already doing for our Savior. It's about vision and what God can do and faith that God will do it. It's about the next generation and the future of this ministry. And it's not about changing who we are, but quite the opposite. It's not changing who we are. We don't want to become faithless. We don't want to become apathetic. We don't want to become settled and satisfied. We don't want to become stagnant and stale. We don't want to become empty and idle. We don't want to become a used to be and a used to do church. We don't want to become spiritually dead. We don't want to become a spiritual social club. We don't want to become a museum of past blessings from our Lord. We don't want to become a ministry that spiritually settles for less and forfeits God's best. So I say this morning, friends and members of Frederick Baptist Church, I hope that you do care about the life of this church. I hope that you do care about the ministries of this church. I hope that you do care about the spiritual impact of this church. And I hope that you do care about the future of this church, the purpose and the potential of this ministry, that we can continue to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Hey, it's not about your pastor. It's not about even the people. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He deserves our best.
Glory.
And God is a God of forward, forward, forward. And that's why our theme this year is, for the whole year, is forward for the faith, by faith. So thank you for letting me share my heart with you this morning. You're at Frederick Baptist Church. And I hope that you'll be in prayer for us, that God will allow us to be able to do what He wants us to do in His timing, but certainly His will be accomplished.